Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of The Check-In, we're so excited to be joined by Sarah Suzuki, licensed clinical social worker, founder and clinical director of Chicago Compass Counseling, and customer of The Receptionist. On this episode, she talks to us about starting as a solo practitioner in 2013 and how in 2017 she realized she wasn't really meeting all of the needs of her clients, and so she brought on 7 other specialized individuals to help really affect not only the clients she was working with, but their whole extended family and the areas that they needed and wanted to work on. So with this growth came some growing pains and some challenges, but there were a lot of really great moments that allowed Sarah to meet her values when working with her clients. Along with the changes in her business, she realized she needed a new system for how her clients and the clients of the other practitioners in her business could check in. And that's when she found The Receptionist. So she shares how it's been working for her, how it helps to maintain the privacy of her clients, and how it really has helped everyone in her practice communicate effectively with their clients and with each other. She shares some really great tips for how she has grown from a very small business of one to being the director of a group of people who are all really looking to best meet the needs of their clients and serve the individuals that they work with. So we're really excited to have her on today and hear all about her experiences with her practice and how The Receptionist is helping her make it all happen. Sarah, we are so excited to have you on The Check-In. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start off with sharing a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So I am a licensed clinical social worker and the clinical director and founder of Chicago Compass Counseling, which is a group counseling practice in Chicago's Loop. And we provide counseling to families and individuals who are struggling with different kinds of self-destructive behaviors, whether that is alcohol use or video game use or emotional eating or anything that's kind of, we call them like values incongruent behaviors. We help people come up with a plan to make those changes.
That's so interesting. And so you not only obviously work with the clients, but you founded your business. And so you work with other practitioners there?
Originally, I started this in 2013 as a solo practitioner, and my focus was really niched and specialized to working with men who were struggling with problem drinking, and they didn't necessarily want to stop drinking, and they weren't really resonating with things like AA or more traditional programs.
Right.
And so I offered an exploration of, okay, is it possible to moderate? And that's actually a whole set of specialized behavioral techniques to activate different strategies. So that became a successful solo practice. And what I discovered is that as my clients would change their behaviors and get better, they had a devastated family system. So they would be getting better and feeling better, and their significant others or their adult children or other friends would still feel really traumatized by the past behavior. And so that would then end up kind of like pulling them back. And so in 2017, I brought on my first clinician to specifically work with partners or concerned significant others of people who had problem drinking. And so it really began quickly and sort of organically from that need of wanting to have a real like wraparound program. And today there are 7 of us who provide specialized services to the entire family system. So it really came out of like a place of, okay, the solo practice, it was a good service, but it didn't take into account the whole family context. It was definitely a surprise that this is where we are today. I never expected it. But we really do enjoy working together as a team to help families in Chicago.
Wow. And that's, I mean, you said you brought on that first clinician in 2017. So that's grown pretty quickly to a big team of specialized individuals.
Yes. And even with that, we didn't have a plan of becoming this, you know, expansive program so quickly. It was more, I brought on my first clinician and said, okay, well, this is like, you know, maybe just a few people that you could see here or there. And almost immediately, the demand was so high that, you know, she'd been working in a different full-time job and quit that job and came on full-time. And so we've just really have been responding to the needs that have been coming up as we've been creating different aspects of our program.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think happens probably with a lot of small business owners in even completely different niches where you start something and then you have customers and or clients in your case, and they have a need and you think, can I fill this or can I not? And it sounds like you knew that you had your specialized practice and that you needed other people to help fill those needs.
So, yes.
So what was that like to go from being a solo practitioner to then managing a team of seven other people?
It was definitely overwhelming. And I have had a lot of, you know, business coaching over the years. And one of my mentors had told me at one point, you know, Sarah, the number one mistake you're always making is that you underestimate where you're going to be and when and what you can do. At the point when I brought on my first hire, I was like, okay, well, maybe by 2022, we'll move into a larger space and we'll have more of an extensive program. And in less than a year, we were expanding into from a one office suite into a five office suite right in the heart of downtown. And so that involved not only bringing on, you know, more staff, but also furnishing an entire office, executing a 7-year lease. And all of these things that felt like huge monumental decisions that I had to make extremely rapidly, that felt really overwhelming. And I think that's the experience of a lot of small business owners is there are so many moving pieces and you're trying to plan, but then you're also responding to things as they come up. And it can feel like juggling 10,000 plates, right?
Absolutely. How did you get through that overwhelm? Because I think you're right. A lot of people go through that and they either get stuck and they don't move forward, or, you know, they do move forward sometimes smoothly, sometimes not. But any sort of tips or just your experience on pushing through that?
Part of it is almost having a sense of blind hope and faith, but really it was about trying to assemble a team outside of my business of people who could be supportive, who also could just like be almost like cheerleaders, right? Who would say, okay, you can do this. You've got a vision. Because there are so many moments of doubt that we have all throughout the day, every single day, that are then interspliced with these like victories of, oh my gosh, this is really happening. It's coming together. And then something else will happen. Like, oh my gosh, this was a disaster. Why did I do this? So I really value having a supportive team, not only of friends, but also other professionals who can give me guidance at times where I'm just kind of in my own silo of overthinking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So as you have seen your business grow so quickly, what has been most exciting for you?
I guess, you know, what's been exciting is because I am the person who's managing the practice, but also still providing direct level services, I have really loved having the ability to collaborate with other people all throughout the day as we are working to provide better services for people. Because like, one of our, you know, values is to provide VIP level services for our individual clients where they can arrive and feel like they're receiving something that's really high quality, where they have a lot of privacy and discretion. Almost all of our clients are what we call like high achieving professionals who are having these challenging behaviors. And so we really want to provide them with the best available service with the best available research that's responsive to their need. And I've noticed for myself that I actually provide better services because I'm able to collaborate in a way that I simply could not when I was solo. So that has just been really thrilling to make sure that people are not only matching up with clinicians who have specialized skills, but also to see how all of us are working a lot better in our individual work because we can collaborate with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. That ability to collaborate is something that we know at The Receptionist is just so important and helps make your own work better and the work of your company better, and therefore how you're serving people even in a stronger way.
Yeah.
So going back to values, it sounds like you have a strong set of values as a company, and I would imagine as a practitioner as well, that have helped shape the work that you do and how you have structured this business. So can you speak to those values anymore? Because I love what you said about kind of that value of VIP level service.
Yeah. So when we think about our client-facing services, a lot of our values are based on what we see our clients as needing that they're not receiving in other capacities. So if we just look at something like alcohol treatment and alcohol services, a lot of people come to us because they want something that feels individualized, where they've got autonomy, but also the ability to collaborate individually. A lot of alcohol-related services are group-based, and you go in and there's a program and everybody gets the same program at the same time, and it doesn't have that tailored feel necessarily. And we do highly value groups, but a lot of people come to us because they want that additional individual support, the respect for, you know, clarity and excellent communication between and within sessions, the ability for people to know that their privacy is protected. A lot of our clients don't want to go to AA because they're afraid of being seen by other people or running into other people or having their privacy compromised in some way because they are people who have high visibility. And so we really value privacy a great deal in providing our services. So those are just a few of the things that come to mind as to why people really are drawn to our services.
Right. And I think that's so important because in, you know, the area of mental health and support in that way, I think for people, there's a lot of just sort of almost mental barriers, right, to get there. Like, what if someone sees me? I feel already some shame or some guilt over this. And so those things can stand in their way. So if you're removing those barriers, I can see where that would be really appealing to people who I would imagine have a hard time, you know, making that first step to reach out for services.
Yeah. And really the other piece is too, that we want our clients to feel fully activated into the process at all times. So for example, with scheduling, we have a client portal where somebody can go in and manage their schedule, request new appointments, you know, change their appointment times, because a lot of our clients travel or have things that come up that they are collaborating in their care. And all of us, you know, work with our clients in a way where they have a clear sense of what we're working on and why and what our goals are. And we try to provide that collaborative clarity at all times, which our clients really like, because they don't want to go into a group meeting where somebody is telling them that they're powerless to change. Our message is that, you know, you have the ability to change, and we really want them to feel that sense of agency throughout the process. That's more like having a set of consultations than it is psychoanalysis, where we have all this power and we're analyzing them and they don't know what's going on.
Right. You're helping them find the power that they have within themselves and encouraging them and supporting them and giving them the tools to make those changes. I love what you're saying about sort of on the practical side of it, of just having this privacy, of giving them the ability to schedule themselves. I mean, those pieces can't be overlooked in a process like this. So I think that's great. So when it comes to, you know, kind of this privacy and technology side, can you share with us a little bit about how that plays in? Because I think sometimes, you know, someone might think, oh, counseling or therapy, and it's not really, there's not technology involved, right? But you've already talked about they can set up their own schedule. So how else do you incorporate technology into your practice?
One of the ways that we incorporate technology that we began to use when we moved into our 5-office suite is using The Receptionist. And I had heard about this from one of my colleagues, and then I started to use it and was really excited. I was so excited that I actually created this YouTube video for one of my consultation groups where I'm like, hey, this is how it works.
Oh, awesome.
We had been in a 1-office suite before when it was just 3 of us, actually, sorry, 4 of us who had been working in the space and sort of sharing it. And so at that time, it was really straightforward. Whoever was in the waiting area was going to see the person who was in the single office suite, right?
Yeah.
And then when we moved into this huge space, I was looking at sort of the waiting room setup and I was thinking to myself, okay, what makes sense here? Because the other piece is our whole practice, we try to design it around being trauma informed in the sense that we want people to feel safe when they come in because it can feel uncomfortable or scary for new people. I've been looking at different kinds of options like, okay, so should we build in a receptionist window that leads to the back of our office? Because right now our waiting area is closed off by two locked doors for our security. Then I appreciate it. Like if we built a window in, then anything that's happening in the foyer behind the waiting room, like the soundproofing gets compromised, which is a problem from a trauma-informed practice level. Then the next thing I thought is, okay, well, maybe we can put a receptionist who's actually in the waiting area into sort of a little space and we can have that staffed. But then the second problem with that is, you know, we see clients from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And even if we had that staffed at all times, you know, the waiting area does not have any windows in it and it is not like a huge space. And so if we put somebody who is actually in there, just in this waiting area, it would become really cramped. And if we had all five, let's say, offices with counselors who had clients who were waiting or family members, all of a sudden you have the room filled up with people and you'd have somebody coming in to receptionist and saying, oh, hi, I'm Sarah Suzuki and I'm here to see so-and-so, which right. automatically compromises their privacy. So I kept trying to think this through because I was going off of this model that my mom had when she was a pediatrician in a group medicine practice. And anyway, I caught it. It just didn't make much sense. A lot of therapists will have call lights, which are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you explain it for people who might not be familiar?
Yeah. So essentially, you'd come into a waiting area and you would see a number of staff names and you would flip a switch that looks just like a light switch. And that would then have a light indicator that would go on for the therapist's office. And so they would say, okay, somebody's in the waiting area. The problem with the call switch light is it requires somebody to not only get the client out of the waiting area, but then to deactivate the light switch by pushing it down and then come back in. And it also relies on the therapist has to be in their office staring at this light to see if the light comes on. And if you're in the middle of doing something else, you could miss it, right?
Yeah.
Then I was looking at different kinds of like wireless doorbell systems. We could install these on the walls and you could press a doorbell and then it go like ding dong, which is like, you know, not too expensive. But if one of us is in the middle of a session with somebody who is going through a lot and they're really overwhelmed and a client arrives early for their next session and you have this huge bell going off, that's not trauma-informed either, right? So I went through all these kinds of workarounds, and then I found the receptionist kiosk application, and I was like, this is great. It allows our clients to come in, and we installed it so that right away, as soon as they come through the door, they can check in, and it's not near the seating area. So as they're checking in, you can't see which staff member they're meeting with or anything. And then it enables our staff to automatically get a notification that somebody has arrived. And from a privacy and security perspective, it was really nice for us that we could enable a feature to automatically wipe out all of the data at the end of the day because we have no reason that we need to retain that. And my staff loved it. The second we implemented that, they were like, this is amazing. And our clients really like it too, because they're like, oh, this is really high tech. It's really cool. But it's such a simple fix. And it was really in line with our values of saying we want something to feel convenient and proactive. And it makes it so that clients aren't sitting in the waiting area wondering if their therapist knows they're there.
Right.
They automatically can know, okay, somebody knows that I'm here. It has prevented us from having like a lot of problems that we would have had otherwise, which I'm happy to detail further. That's been our experience with it so far.
That's great. I love that. I love that you went through this whole process of trying to figure out how to best meet the needs of the people who would be coming in for your practitioners. And you sort of, you know, figured out, well, this won't work for this reason. And this seems like it makes sense, but it doesn't for this reason. And then we were able to sort of fill the need with using the receptionist. And I love that it's been helpful on both sides, right? It's great for the practitioners in the office And it's creating a really positive client experience as well.
Yeah. We've had some situations where a few of my staff and I were doing an interview with a candidate a few months ago who's wanting to work with us. And so we were in a different part of the building. We were about to start the interview, and one of my staff members looked at her phone and she was like, oh, my client just checked in. And she's like, this is actually, he's supposed to meet with me at this time, but tomorrow. And she's like, I'm going to go run up and probably see him since he's here. And we're like, okay, no problem. What that prevented is instead of the client sitting there and then being like, what's happening? What's going on? She was able to immediately respond. There have also been other instances where, let's say a client does get confused and they arrive and they check in and they're there on the wrong day. My therapist will get a text message and they'll be like, I'm at home and it looks like this person just checked in. Can you go talk to them? And then whoever is at the office can then go out and then we activate them and say, hey, so here's what's on the schedule. And so we can automatically provide that high quality service and really work as a team together. So that's been super facilitative for us.
Yeah, I love that. And if you take it out of the context of what you do, that's just fantastic customer service. But then when you really look at the fact that you're dealing with such sensitive issues with people who, you know, are there for very specific reasons and need support. And I would imagine sometimes, you know, feeling, you know, in crisis or you're feeling like they're in the middle of the trauma, to be able to support them in that way is so important.
Yeah. Most recently in August, I was actually traveling in the Yukon territory in Canada. And I had a notification that one of my people had checked in. And of course, I had told all of my clients well in advance and reminded them that I would be in the Yukon. And I was able to immediately reach out to my clinician and say, hey, can you go talk to this person? And that was incredible to me because I know from my days as a solo practitioner that there were times I would be just sitting at home and I would get an email from one of my clients and they would say, wow, I've been sitting here for 30 minutes and the door is locked. Where are you? Right. And then I would have to panic and do some sort of service recovery and figure out what happened.
Yeah.
It's really been empowering for the clients and for us.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, we're so thankful that we can help fill that need and support your practitioners and your clients in that way. So we're so glad that you could share all of that with us. Now, before we finish up today, obviously not everyone is in the Chicago area, and if they needed support, couldn't work directly with you. But do you have any final thoughts about if someone is feeling like they need some sort of support or they would want to work with someone like you, any thoughts about finding someone who's a good fit for them?
Yeah, what I would say is, you know, because I did mention this idea of working on problem drinking, but not necessarily in an abstinence-only way. What I would suggest is for people to look on the Moderation Management Incorporated website for a moderation-friendly therapist. And they've got moderation-friendly therapists in almost every state.
Oh, great.
The thing about moderation therapists is it's not like we are only all about, you know, oh, you can just drink however you want. It's somebody who is familiar with all of the strategic principles of like behavior change and harm reduction, where they can incorporate that as part of their philosophy. You know, just as far as getting started with, you know, any kind of counseling or talking to somebody, a lot of people really enjoy, being able to look at therapists on Psychology Today because you can narrow down your search based on where the therapist is located, what special issues they treat, what their insurance is. The field of mental health and substance abuse has transformed into a much more empowered consumer service where you can go and talk to somebody and see what they have to offer. And if it's not a good fit, then that's okay. And you can go and try somebody else.
Right.
Because it really is just so important to have an excellent fit with your counselor.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for those resources. We will link those for people below. And I think that's a really great reminder is that if you're taking the step and you find someone and they don't feel like the right fit, you don't need to keep going back. There are other people that can help support you in this. So thank you so much. Any final thoughts for us today, Sarah, before we finish up?
No, that's it. I just thank you so much for having me. It just really has been amazing to see the practice grow and thrive. And for anybody who feels overwhelmed as a small business owner, I get it. And just keep chugging through because it's amazing what can happen if you just keep going.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Sarah. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy,
and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.